Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And good evening and welcome to this Hope is Alive, coming to you this first day of August. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening. Greetings from Arkansas this evening.
Yeah, great. And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings from Oklahoma.
And, well, men, we're here, and I know we have a couple callers, so when they come in, I'll sure let you know. And I texted a note to Brother Ralph, and I remember years ago, Pastor had a shirt, and he showed it one Sunday morning. I think he did anyway, or maybe he talked about it. It might have been a little too rude to show, but it basically said something like, I want to be the kind of Christian that when I get up and put my feet on the ground in the morning, the devil says, oh, crap, he's up again. And that thought occurred to me as I was listening to that song coming on. And I know you men, and I'll say we, are that way. Praise God. And so.
Amen.
Well, there you go, guys.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, sir. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the testimony show about those who have overcome and have made the devil go, oh, goodness, it's them again when they wake up. We thank you for joining us. If you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. There is a website to set up, a very user-friendly website, very easy to find things as you can scroll through it, plenty of links to click on, and just about anything and everything that's talked about on this show is on that website. Also, if you would like the book that Pastor Cox has written called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, you can obtain that from Scriptures for America by calling the phone number at 307-742-7582. You get that book out. If you don't have it, I highly suggest getting it. It's a fantastic, fantastic manual to help you overcome and fight in the demonic realm. To be that type of Christian, that we have that power and authority, Luke 10:19. And when you operate in that power and authority, the demonic realm has to run because it's been commanded and so. Pastor, good evening.
Good evening, and of course, all Christians can do this. I'm always trying to emphasize that what Brother Ralph is talking about is not a gift area. It is normal Christianity for all Christians. That's why in our training at Deliverance Ministries, we can teach anyone to do deliverance and physical healing if they want to. But they are equipped from the cross as a born-again Christian to learn to do it.
Well, let me read a scripture real quick. It kind of goes along with all this. It's Book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 6. So when they came together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is this the time you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. And in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. And we praise the Lord because we're able to witness the remotest parts of the earth with this radio program. And that is a command to all Christians when he talked about that. He wasn't just, at the time he was talking to his apostles, but he was talking to all Christians when he gave that, and it's part of that great commission, going out and preach the gospel to the world. And part of that commission was that he would heal the sick, lay hands upon, speak in new tongues, and cast out demons. And just wanted to read that because it's part of my, I'm starting on the Book of Acts tonight. This is my reading. I looked down on that, and I said, that is an excellent thing to remember, and to remember to witness. Witness, we talked about that last weekend. Testify, witnessing, because it helps overcome. And that's how the gospel was preached, by word of mouth.
Amen. And, of course, people cannot argue with the testimony. I'm always saying that, but you know how people have different ideas from their doctrines of various churches they've attended, and yet, when people tell how they were, what went on, what the problems they had, and what happened in the ministry session, and how they are today, how Jesus set them free, a listener cannot argue with that. They have to reflect on it. They have to, it would have to go through their mind, are they lying or not? But then the next thought should be, well, why would they be lying? What are they to gain from this? So, anyway, I did a radio show 22 years here in Oklahoma City, and people used to think it was really crazy. It was at 12 noon, and they'd be driving in their car hearing these testimonies about how evil spirits were cast out of even Christians, and they'd scratch their heads and think it was crazy. But then they'd hear it again and hear it again, and different people each time, and it finally starts sinking in. Why would all those people be lying? Maybe there's something to this. So that's why testimonies are great, and that's what we've got here on the show tonight, a couple of great testimonies coming up.
Amen. And, it doesn't take much to testify or witness to anybody. We're told to be ready in season and out of season. I walked into one of my customers today, and lady there says, I really like this young man. He's always got something to testify to me. And
yeah, good. That's great.
And her customer, which is in a chair, is a salon. I sharpen shears for salons. And the lady says to me, she goes, do you like to testify? Give me something to testify. Testify to me. So she kind of put me, I had to be ready in season, out season. But I talked with her, and before it was all said and done, her name was Betty. Miss Betty, if you're out there listening, I hope so. I gave her the link to listen to the radio show. So that can be something as simple as that. We just got to talking about various things. One of the things we talked about was the tragedy we had in my hometown with the sinking of those ducks and the loss of that family. And, we got to talking about Job a little bit, how that happened to Job, how that was my satanic assignment, what happened to Job, and I suspected this may be the same thing for that family. And it just kind of went from there, and it allowed me to talk about the authority we have, the power, and it gave me the opportunity to give that radio program out. And just not saying that to pat myself on the back, just saying that to give some people maybe the idea that maybe a little shy about testifying. But you know, I'll tell you what, when that Holy Spirit does come upon you, Pastor, you have a newfound bravery. Isn't that so?
Oh, so true. I was a guy that was always shy and never said much all through those decades. I went to church, but I just didn't plug in and didn't say much. But after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was speaking in tongues, June 1978, I haven't been the same since. And I had what you read earlier. I had a power to witness, and an amazing thing. I was a shy guy, but now I'm not, you know. And it hadn't changed. That was 40 years ago, so I'm still doing it, praise God.
And you know what's so great about it, when you do get a chance to witness to someone, like Miss Betty said to me today, she said, she goes, "You're just making my day." She kept saying that, "You're making my day." And you know, to me, I wasn't really doing anything or saying anything out of the ordinary, but you know, it was a word of encouragement that she needed to hear, and that lifted her up. And that's one of the things we're commanded to do as Christians, to lift each other up. And that's what this show is about, that people come on, they can lift, hopefully, you up as listeners. I know that each week when I listen to the testimonies, I'm always in a good mood when I get off the program. And it's
it really
just kind of pumps me up and lets me flex my spiritual muscles. So.
Well, amen. That drives us on to do it some more. Well, Ralph, we only had 6 cases Monday night. But we had it was over 15 ministers there, but we had great action. I first had a guy come in. He came in to pick something up there. He wasn't staying for ministry, but he was really down in the back, and I had him sit down in the chair with a knee problem, could hardly walk. And by the time I finished the limb check, he checked for pain, and he said it was gone. I said, "Well, walk out here in the aisle." And he started walking, and just like the guy last week, same deal. Finally, he starts running around the room. It felt so good. He had this smile on his face. And I talked to him briefly today, and his pain is still gone. So I'm still on a high just from that. But I had an alcohol case Monday night, and for the full deliverance and healing, and he had a short leg adjust, but I talked to him today, and he's had no alcohol desires since Monday. So, yeah, like I say, we only had 6 people, but it was heavy action. Hallelujah.
Well, praise God. Well, that's 6 people, their lives have been turned around. And
amen.
They go out and witness to somebody. Just one a day, those numbers can really add up at the end of the year if they just witness to one person a day about what God has done for them through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, and again, if you have any questions about deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. We also have info@deliveranceusa.com. Pretty much everything that's talked about on this show is available there on the website. Or you can get the book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which Pastor wrote, has about almost 40 years worth of experience laid down in it. And I like to call it Casting Out Demons for Dummies, because it's pretty simple. It's pretty laid out, straightforward, and really easy to follow and really easy to use as far as a manual goes. So, did anything else happen this week that you could think of?
Well, the week's not over, but I really appreciated Richard and the prayer hour praying for my son-in-law, who's had a hip problem with some infection. And, you know, the more prayer we can get out, I'm probably too close, as I think about it, to pray with him like I do others, you know. I'm too close in the family to him. But anyway, I appreciate the group praying earlier. I was able to hear their prayer. And,
yeah, I got that.
Cool.
I got that prayer request out, so I'll be sure to keep Mike in my prayers. So, Pastor, we have Betsy. Betsy, thank you for calling, joining us this evening. Welcome to Hope's Alive.
Well, thank you so much, and hello to you guys. It is certainly a pleasure to be back with you on the Hope is Alive program.
Yes, I'm so excited to have you back on, Betsy. How long has it been? It was some months, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little while now, but, you know, time passes quickly, but memories do not pass that quickly. I can remember so much as if it was like yesterday. So I'd like to just kind of start by introducing myself and talking about my background just a little bit. And my background is really kind of simple. I was born and raised in Florida. My father was our pastor for almost 40 years before he passed away, so my roots of loving and serving the Lord goes way back and very deep. I have a PhD, and I have a 2-year degree in theology, and I still study the Word of the Lord every single day. But before my deliverance experience, I can remember how my life just seemed to be turning inside out and upside down, and it just seemed like everything in my life somehow was on the wrong road. It was being derailed, and my home life was being ripped apart. Every single day, there seemed to be a problem of some kind. My husband, as you may remember, is an ice road trucker up in Alaska, so he's on the road and gone most of the time. And even with that, it just seemed like we began to fuss and fight all the time. And even over the little things that truly didn't matter at all, we'd still fuss about them. And I just became so depressed, I was making myself sick. And it seemed like all I wanted to do was sleep so I didn't have to think about, you know, anything that was going on. And we were just being deceived. And we really didn't realize that we were being deceived. And, you know, my husband went to Oklahoma City, and he went through the deliverance. And he actually came back a changed person, and I could see that he had been, you know, something great had happened to him. But the course of our life just seemed to be on a downhill spiral. And you know, I just kept thinking, well, all of this couldn't possibly be my fault. I felt like everything that was going wrong, well, it wasn't me, it was all him. So, you know, when I stopped to think about what was happening and why is this happening, I still thought it was all him, and that's deception. Whoever said it takes two to fight, I thought, clearly did not know my husband. But ever since he came back from his deliverance experience, he was talking to me, and he was like, you need to go, you need to go, this is important, you need to go. And I was being stubborn, and I didn't want to go. I absolutely thought, you know, hey, it's not me, so why should I go? And it's all deception. And Satan just has a way of trying to keep you thinking the wrong thing to keep you from being victorious in the Lord. And one day we were walking out of the grocery store in the evening, and he started talking about it again. And I finally just said, you know what? Okay, let's go. But if we're going, let's go now. Let's go right away. And 4 hours later, we were on a plane headed to Oklahoma City. And then once we arrived in Oklahoma City, it wasn't anything like I thought it would be. There was no one standing over me, beating me up, nobody shouting and praying and screaming at me or demanding me to do anything, you know. My deliverance session was a one-on-one. It was calm. It was peaceful. It was easy until the head demon showed up. We began to talk about, Everett and I began to talk about, several different things about my past life, where I'd been, where I'm wanting to go, what things in my life was still causing me pain or unforgiveness. And at one point, Everett called out the head demon. And he demanded him to speak up and tell the truth and give his name and talk about what deception I was being told. And the demon spoke up, and he told us, his name was Josepha. He said, I was being lied to. He said my husband was not against me and that he loved me. He said he was not the only one there, but in fact, there were legions. He said he was cast out of me back in 1987, but he returned. And Everett demanded he tell the things that he was trying to block in my life. And just a couple of those things that he said was that I was going to write music, which I am writing music, and I have 4 songs copyrighted in Washington, D.C. now. And he said I was going to have a healing ministry. And when my session was over, my husband and I returned to our hotel. We sat up talking until 4:30 in the morning. We had not really talked to each other in probably more than 10 years. And it was an absolutely awesome feeling just to be able to sit and talk to the man that I fell in love with 21 years ago. And the second night, we did the same thing. We felt like we found each other again, and we stayed up till over 3 o'clock in the morning talking to each other. So our life has absolutely been restored, and God is in the midst. And we kind of feel like we make a good tag team for each other. When I'm weak, he's strong, and he'll grab me by the hand and pull me. And if he's weak, I'm strong. And I pull him. And that's the way it should be, so that we can be on the same playing field in life. And currently, right now, I'm traveling a little bit. I left Alaska and drove down to Kentucky. I was there for a month and held 4 deliverance sessions. I left Kentucky and went to Louisiana and had a lady ask me to visit her husband who was in jail, that he needed deliverance. She said a few years ago he began to do things that wasn't right, and his behavior became such that she didn't know who he was anymore. According to her, he would say things, and hurtful things, and then not remember saying them to her, and that he became very bitter and hateful, and the more trouble he got into, the more distant he became. So I did. I went down to the jail to see him, and what I found when I got there was a very large man, very tall, and not very friendly at all. And he sat across the table from me with his head hung down, so all I could really see was the top of his head. I couldn't see his face at all. And on the top of his head was shaved completely. And on the top of his head, he had a tattoo of a skull and crossbones. And after a few minutes of talking about the Lord and how deliverance could help him turn his life around, he abruptly lifted his head and looked at me, and he stood up. And in his very deep, loud voice, he said, "Lady, do you believe in demons?" I replied, "No, I believe in God." He leaned across the table toward me, and he said, "Don't forget, you are locked in here, and you cannot get out." I knew that that was a fear tactic, and I whispered under my breath, "Lord, give me what I have need of when I have need of it," and that is faith over fear. And so when he said, "Don't forget, you're locked in here and you can't get out," my reply to him was, "Oh, that's okay, because I don't want to get out." He looked a little confused now, and he repeated, "You can't get out." And I said, once again, "It's okay, I don't want to get out." And I said, "It's because I know the living God." And he said he would go before me in every battle, and this battle is not mine. And the blood on the armor is not my blood. Now, in the name of Jesus, sit down, be quiet, and don't interrupt me again. He stood there for what seemed like a long time, although I know it was probably just a brief minute, and then he sat down. And after we went through the deliverance session, after the whole thing was over, he said, I never knew I could feel like this. I told him, I said, listen, every day with Christ is a new day. It's a new beginning. And it's a new walk. So make every step count. The last I heard, he was still, of course, in jail, but had started to go into worship services. And listen,
hallelujah.
That's what praising him is all about, you know? And I said to somebody the other day, I said, let me ask you a question. If you live to be 70, 80, 90, 100 years old, and you die and go to heaven, and you find out that all those years that you served God, all those years that you were out there on the field, if all those years there was only one person that you were able to help set free, that you were able to help them get deliverance, that you were able to help them turn their life around or start a better life, only one person out of all those years, would it have still been worth it? My answer is absolutely. If we are on the battlefield many, many years and we only help one person, then yes, it is still worth it. So, I'm telling you, I started in Kentucky. I had four deliverance sessions here. I went to Louisiana, had that one in the jail, left Louisiana, went to Florida. I spoke in five different churches in Florida and sang some of the songs that I wrote, had copyrighted in another church. And right now I'm back in Kentucky, and I have spoken in six churches here in Kentucky since I've been back the second time. And people, no matter where you go, people is hungry. They're in pain. They're suffering. They have things that they don't know what to do with or how to get over it or where to turn. And unless there's somebody to teach them and walk them through the steps of deliverance like Everett did with me, these people have little hope. And everywhere you go, there's somebody who seems to be reaching out to you. So I've been, you know, my husband, God bless him, he's still in Fairbanks. He's still working. He's supporting me, you know, down here doing what I'm doing right now. And to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going next. I don't know when I'm going. I'm just following the Lord. And where the Lord tells me to go, that's where I'm going. And he brings these people, you know, to cross my path. And I always say, if you're crossing my path, there's a reason why our paths are crossing. So, you know, what I could say to encourage anybody out there listening, if there's any issues in your life that you need help with, don't do what I did. I put it off. I was stubborn. I was hard-headed. I didn't want to go. Satan was telling me, oh, it ain't you. You're okay. It's all him. That's all deception. You don't have to suffer, and you don't have to suffer alone when there's help out here. So, Everett, all I can tell you from the bottom of my heart is God bless you guys, and thank you for doing what you're doing. Because if you wasn't doing what you were doing, there's no telling where we would end up right now.
Wow. What a testimony, Betsy. The Lord You know, that day I ministered to you, and that head demon speaking out of your mouth gave all those gifts. As I recall, I had to go to the margin of my yellow tablet. There were so many gifts, and I figured, and of course the demon admitted it was there trying to block your life and use of those God-given gifts. So I figured it would be high adventure pretty quick when you were freed up from that stuff. And it certainly, it's obvious it is high adventure. One thing we learned long ago, that once you show yourself approved, that is, you've learned sufficiently about deliverance and how to do it, some basic steps and all, the Lord will send people to you. He will send them. And when I first got into it 40 years ago, next thing I knew, I was doing one almost every night. He was sending them. And it's hallelujah. What adventure. I can tell you're on
a ride. Yeah, and, you know, the wonderful thing is every day is a new day.
Yes.
And that means there's more opportunity every single day. And I just pray every day, Lord, use me. If you have to call somebody, call me. Let me go. Let me help. Let me spread your word. I just want to spend my life serving God in any manner that I absolutely can. I want to be able to reach out and say, hey, listen, I know this guy in Oklahoma City. You know, I want to send people your way. I want to make sure that they know how to find you, where to find you, when to go. And, you know, like I said, the greatest thing that I could give advice-wise to anybody is don't put it off. Because when you put it off, you become your own self's worst enemy. We have to be victorious in the Lord. And we have to have help from time to time. And it's not a shameful thing to say, hey, I need help. I was born and raised in it. You know, I was going to church when I was 2 weeks old. My dad was preaching. I've done everything from scrub the toilet, cut the grass, lead worship service, lead the youth group, preach when my dad got too sick to preach. I have done probably everything that there is to do for many, many years. But everybody needs help once in a while. So my encouragement tonight is don't wait. If you're struggling with stress, if you're struggling with depression, whatever it is that's facing you, you do not have to face it alone.
And when those negatives come, which they do all the time, they're master deceivers. Their father, the Satan, is a master of lies, and they're really good at it, and these negative thoughts will tend to come into even Christians' heads, and you can recognize them once you kind of have some training on it, because they're usually negative and defeating-like. But cherish the thought when they come. Don't just accept them as the truth. Cherish the thought and rebuke the spirits, and that'll take you a long ways into moving forward. Well, in just a few seconds remaining, any last word to give the listeners, Betsy?
Just be encouraged. Hold on. Don't give up. It may look like, it may sound like, it may feel like that you're at the end of the rope, but don't give up. Reach out to these folks in Oklahoma City, because I know from experience, I've been there, I've done that, and I am victorious today because of it.
Praise God. Oh, thank you so much, Betsy. That was encouraging to everybody and certainly exciting testimony. Go forward, gal. Hallelujah. Thanks for calling in.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. Y'all be blessed beyond compare.
Thanks, Betsy. You are a blessing.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, she went from just bickering and arguing with her husband about how she didn't need any help to helping others.
Yeah, Yeah, big time.
Is that not supernatural?
Amen. And you could tell from her accent, she's her home place is not Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, yeah, no.
She's got a southern accent. It was cute.
Yeah, going from Florida to Fairbanks, that's quite a little bit of difference in regional areas.
And vice versa. She comes back down here.
Yes. Pastor, we have Kristen on the air. Kristen, thank you for joining us on Hope is Alive.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're excited to get some history on you and testimony of when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then any experiences you'd like to share.
Yes, sure. So I am a Midwest girl, and I am 44 years old. I accepted the Lord when I was 10 and had a relationship with Him, and then went through college and kind of just fell away from my faith and relationship with the Lord and rededicated my life about 15 years ago, and really still had a lot of baggage and wounds that I had carted through life through my own sin and through experiences and things that had been imposed upon me. Kind of in my Christian walk, I knew a little bit about deliverance, but wasn't something I had ever had exposure to. I was intrigued by it. I was also a little bit skeptical. And here over the last, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 years, I really just kind of wanted to press in deeper with the Lord in my walk and just know Him in a fresh, more intimate way. And really had kind of struggled more so with that in the last couple of years and through kind of the counsel of some godly Christian women in my life. They've prayed for me and really just offered me this opportunity to go through deliverance with Everett Cox's ministry. And so that's how I got connected. When it was first mentioned to me, there was still that skepticism there, but I tell you what, I was sick at home in bed one day, and I thought, I'm just going to click on this link, and I'm just going to see what this ministry is all about. And I just had kind of this peace that just washed over my spirit, and I knew that it was time. It was time for this part of my journey with the Lord just to kind of do some deep cleaning, kind of clean out the closet, get out the junk, and so that's kind of how I got connected with the ministry. Do you want me to keep going with my experience? Is that what you'd like for me to share more?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Kristen. Doing great.
Okay. So, I kind of went to the meeting. I decided I wanted to go by myself because I really wasn't sure what to expect. I was a little bit nervous, to be honest. I had kind of an agenda of things that I wanted to address, and it's neat that the Lord met me in those, but He showed me a whole host of other things that He's like, well, we'll just do some clean out. Let's just get rid of all kinds of stuff. So I'm just really thankful for that. But what I loved about it is it's just a, it was a come-as-you-are process, and just posture your heart to be open to the work that the Lord wants to do in your mind and in your spirit and in your body. And I had a lot of failed relationships in my past. There was divorce, some abusive relationships, bankruptcy, physical infirmities, rejection, just a lot of junk that I'd been carting around. And so those were all things that I took, that I wanted to address and I wanted to be purged of through this deliverance process. And so I'm just really thankful that to Everett and his ministry and his passion for it, because he really gave us a step-by-step process, all very biblically based, backed up by Scripture, and then some really great one-on-one time with ministers who just kind of guided me through the process. And I have to tell you, it was the most surreal, cathartic process that I've gone through. It was very freeing. I did leave the experience, I mean, I was physically and mentally drained, but like in a really good way. And I really felt like some strongholds, things that were barriers to me connecting with the Lord in a deeper way, were broken off so that I could be more open to receive His love and what He has for me. So I'm just really thankful. My only regret is that I didn't do it sooner.
Have you, you had some illnesses bothering you, as I recall, some headaches and even panic attacks. What's the status on those?
Yes. So kind of I had, and it's one of those garden variety of physical ailments that I think a lot of people struggle with. And I know that I was embarrassed because I call myself the frequent flyer at my doctor's office. It seems like every month or sometimes a year, it'd be like the ailment du jour. I would have headaches, or I had for all of last year, I had an unexplained sore throat, panic attacks, neck and back aches, digestive issues, just a lot of just difficult things to deal with that were affecting the quality of my life. And I really, through this process, have felt better physically, and it's helped me a lot emotionally. And so those things have been broken off, and I'm just thankful to have the freedom from them. So yes, it was liberating, and I just kind of lumped it all under the category of infirmity. And so that was probably my dominant stronghold or demon was infirmity. And so to get some freedom from that was the proof. I mean, just to be liberated from that, I'm like, how did I ever question this before? And it just really was a testament not only to the battle that really goes on for us in a spiritual realm, but even more important, the power that our Lord has. And so, and He is over all those things that are over us. And so I'm just thankful that in His name we have that freedom, and we don't have to live with these spirits of infirmity or anger or whatever it is, whatever yours is. We just don't have to live in it. And so I'm just very, very thankful to discover that.
It's still amazing to me, Kristen, that God gave us this power of attorney to speak in His name, a little us, you know. Who am I to do this? Well, it's, I'm a believer.
I know, it's such an incredible, and I think it's such an untapped gift. I think it was, I had a lot of ignorance, and I know the enemy was really pleased that I was in a state of ignorance, but I just was not aware of the power that we do have and the freedom that we do have and the authority that we have over these things. And so just kind of in diving more into, I mean, this is, going through the deliverance process was great in getting freedom there, but it's also just created this thirst in me to learn more and to dive into the Word more. And so it's been liberating in so many ways. It's like I have fresh spiritual eyes.
Kristen, you even had a short leg adjust out. Is that right?
I did, yes. And it's interesting because just about a week prior to me attending deliverance, I was going to physical therapy and I was going to see a chiropractor. And one of the exercises they did with me, they said, okay, you've got one leg that's shorter. And although that might not be terribly uncommon, it was significantly causing some issues for me. And I was just amazed to sit down and go through that exercise, and I am looking down at my legs and I am seeing them adjust through no exertion, energy, or effort on my part. And so that was really a miraculous and beautiful thing.
Your minister, who was it ministered to you? I've kind of forgotten, Kristen.
Heather and Anthony Nunn.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Heather and Anthony.
Yes.
Yeah, and of course, I've seen literally thousands of these short legs and arms adjust now over these 40 years. I was blessed to learn it really early on, and it amazes me every time that we can, you know, physically see a miracle take place right in front of us, and of course, then so typically the pain is gone, and the person is not bothered like they were in various areas of their back and legs. Is that been your case?
Yes. Yes, I received healing and freedom from that pain immediately after that. I was just amazed. And, I mean, I was even trying to, like, recreate, how am I not feeling any pain? And it was just like, sometimes you don't realize what pain you are in until you have freedom from it. And so it was, just to experience that again for the first time was really, it was wonderful.
I had a man come by the ministry Monday night, Krista. He actually came by to get something. But he was having a problem walking, it was obvious, and something about his leg and knee and all. And so I had him sit down in the chair. I made sure he didn't have any unforgiveness toward anyone or himself or toward God. I always clear that out, to be sure. And I did the usual thing of holding his legs up. He had a leg that was short, and it came right out, and then an arm was short, and I prayed over his brainstem. And I said, now walk out here and check yourself. Is there any pain? He said, well, no pain. Well, walk out down this aisle here. No one had hardly come yet. And so he walks down the aisle, and he starts running with a grin on his face.
Oh, I love it. That is beautiful. It's just a joyous moment when that happens. So praise God for that.
And all Christians can do that, aren't you? I just happen to be in the middle of it where there's a lot of people to minister to, but all Christians can do this. Again, it's not a special gift area at all. So, have you thought, Krista, about going through the training yourself?
I have. I am in prayerful consideration about doing that. To have a hand in helping people receive freedom and be liberated in the power that we have through Christ. I look forward to helping people with that. I'm praying about the timing on it.
Yeah. Well, and one thing about it, it's nice to come every Monday, but if you can't come, that's okay, because if you keep coming on Mondays, you eventually will have what you missed covered. And so that works out pretty good, because sometimes hard for people, you know, to get there every Monday night. So that's something to think about. You know, it'll still work.
Okay, that's good to know. So, thank you. Yes, that was one of my challenges, whether I could commit to being available every Monday. I do some traveling with work, and so I would not want to miss those opportunities. But yes, absolutely, I would love to speak more about it with you.
The thing is, Krista, once you learn those steps to minister by, and that we've learned over these years in deliverance, you can minister to the world out there, and you can use that the rest of your life. There's no way you wouldn't have people that you will bump into that need this kind of ministry. The lady that was on before was talking about that when she went through deliverance and got into it. I mean, from Fairbanks, Alaska. She's down here in the lower 48 right now. Just ministering to one or two puts you on a huge high. And then that God used us this way, and then to hear the testimonies and imagine that God used us like this. But if you can do one, you can do 100, and you can do 1,000 of them out there. So if you learn those steps, hold on to your hat. The Lord will send people to you.
Oh, that's so cool. Heather and Anthony mentioned that to me, that it was just such a joy for them to do it, and just to kind of have to participate in that process and see someone liberated was just thrilling for them. And so I just think that's wonderful. I really think I don't think it's as known as, I was just surprised because I knew a little bit about deliverance, but I just don't think it has as much presence as it should. And I just think people aren't aware of what's available to them, not only in a deliverance ministry and going through that process, but also just scripturally what it says that we have. And so I'm just thankful that I had a couple of very spirit-filled women who've received, who've gone through deliverance and received freedom, saw in me a need for the same thing and offered that opportunity, because I know one of them has gone through your ministry, Everett. So I think it's just, you know, sharing that. I think absolutely. I mean, it's a gift, so, and it's freely available to us.
Yes, Anthony and Heather that ministered to you are fairly new at it. I don't know, maybe a year now, something like that, but they are just totally on fire. They wouldn't miss a Monday. They are totally pumped about what they've learned and able to help people like this. And of course, that's why we're doing the radio show, is to try to get the word out to people that this is available, and you don't have to suffer like that the rest of your life. Jesus paid the price for our freedom. All we have to do is apply it. And, we're trying to get the word out. It's hard to get it out. It's just, a lot of people are so busy, they just won't quite focus.
Well, and I think, too, it's maybe, and some of it's probably a little bit like me, it's like we all want to be, you know, free, and we want to be liberated, and I think sometimes we get in our own way of that process. I know that I did. So there was a hindrance there mentally, but if I would just encourage anybody who might be thinking about it, just to posture their heart to be open to what the Lord can do and will do. If you show up for obedience, or you go through the deliverance process, whether it be, in person or through your materials, it works. It's what God wants for us. It's what we desperately need. And there aren't even adequate words for me to describe. All I can think is just, like, exhilarating, liberating, freedom. So I just think it's having an awareness and then just going through the process, and it's like the Lord just has so much for us in it. And so it's if anybody is skeptical, just go with it.
Yes.
And open your heart, and you'll be blown away at what the Lord's going to do.
Kristen, I think the movies have kind of hurt the idea of it, you know, how they do all the dramatics of exorcisms, you know, casting out of evil spirits. And the reality of it is, you didn't find it wild and woolly, did you, in your process?
No, you know what, I might have had, it's like my head was not on a swivel, and it wasn't like, you know, something was gushing out of me that was like, that was visible and bizarre. It was, you know, I had some visceral reactions in my body. I had a little bit of shaking. I cried, but if I didn't cry, then I wasn't getting out what needed to come out. And it all just felt very natural. It's just what needed to happen. And, you know, I honestly think, you know, I may have been a little bit more dramatic than some of the others, but it wasn't anything that, looking back on it, I'm like, oh goodness, I was embarrassed. I hope somebody didn't see me do that. It's just part of the process. And, you know, Heather and Anthony and I were talking about it, and they're like, you know, you may, you know, cough, or you might burp or something like that if you're trying to, like, expel something that's not godly in you. And so, you know, I had my own way of going through that process, and so there were tears, and I was a little shaky, and I had a hitch in my throat, but it wasn't any of this Hollywood stuff that you see. So I think it's over dramatized for movie purposes, as you would imagine, but no, that part of the process was not anything to be scared of.
Certainly the majority of, I mean, we go months and months without even an outcry or anything. But it's quite common that people do feel a moving in their body and coming upward through the throat, and then they'll yawn them out, cough them out, or burp them out, or come out the top of their head. They'll feel them. Well, I tell you one thing about that. You know you got something out. Which, you know, if you never feel anything, you kind of wonder, well, did anything happen? But, you know, when you feel them go, a lot of people will be able to say to the minister, oh, you got that one. That one's gone now. How many spirits
I know there were things that were freed in me, and I'm just so thankful for it. So whether I had a visceral reaction or not, there was freedom that took place that evening.
Yes, and that's the main thing. And well, Kristen, thank you so much for sharing, and what a beautiful testimony and encouraging to listeners. Anything else real quick that you would like to say before we wind up?
I want to thank you, and thank you for having me on your program to share a little bit. I hope that if somebody's listening that has been on the fence, or maybe they're in a really desperate place and just need to know the Lord, or just to be purged of some really difficult things in their that they're carrying around with them, that they will seek deliverance, because it is for them. So thank you very much.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Thank you, Kristen.
God bless
good
you.
Night to you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, she laid it out, didn't she?
Amen for that.
Amen.
And with enthusiasm.
She was trying to express so many things about how she felt and this and that, and it's just basically summed up in the word where it says the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus comes to have life and life abundantly. And when you get this thief, the enemy, the demons, the Satan, all these out of your life, you really do, for a lot of people for the first time in their life, have life and life abundantly. And
that's why Jesus commanded us to do it. I see it now.
Yes, it is. And that is Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Cox, deliveranceusa.com. Everything's there for you to get. And you don't have to go to Oklahoma City. You are welcome to go there. He will welcome you and everybody there with open arms. But you don't have to go to Oklahoma City. You can do this. It's all right there at the fingertips of the computer. We do thank everybody for joining us this evening. We do appreciate you for tuning in. God bless and have a great week. We'll see you next week.
God bless everyone.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place. A perfect picture of a hopeless case. Till it seems like every breath of hope has died.